I believe this is part five of our consideration of Joseph. And we continue this evening as well, so that will be part six. And God willing, in the new year, I will continue. So I don't know how many parts there will be in total. But it's a fascinating character is Joseph, and we've one of the sons of Jacob, 12 sons Jacob had. And Joseph was perhaps a particular favourite of Jacob. He was given that coat of many colours. And we know that the other brothers of Joseph weren't too happy, particularly when Joseph said about his dreams, that basically he would be elevated and they would bow down to him. That really made them very irate. And then he wanted to get rid of him, kill him, but they didn't kill him, but in the end they sold him to some Ishmaelites, who took Joseph down to Egypt, where he then served in the house of Potiphar. And he served well there, but then was falsely accused by Mrs. Potiphar and ended up in prison. And there in the prison, he was well respected there in the prison. And we also saw last time about the butler and the baker who had dreams. And Joseph was able to interpret, and it was the Lord who gave him the interpretation, and the butler was restored to serving in Pharaoh's house, and the baker was executed. That was what the dreams said, and that's what happened. And remember that Joseph said to the butler, well, when you are released, when you continue in your work, do put in a word for me. But we read that he forgot all about him. And so Joseph remained 2 years in the prison. And we saw that at the beginning of chapter 41. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years. So it was a long time that Joseph was in the prison. But beginning in this chapter and beyond, two things providence here brings about. One is the advancement of Joseph, and secondly, the maintenance of Jacob and his family in a time of famine. We see that unfolding. So verse 1, it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. So we know all about dreams, and there's been quite a lot of dreams that we've thought about. Dreams that Joseph had, and the butler and the baker, and now Pharaoh. But we see, don't we, in this 2 full years of the timing of God, which was perfect. It was just the right time in God's timetable for Joseph and for Egypt and for beyond. God's timings, they're always perfect, aren't they? And it would result in the saving, wouldn't it, of many people. And Joseph is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus came into this world did need to save many people. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. But very often, though God's timings are perfect, our timings and our plans can be very different. And as I say, 2 years, that was a long time. It required a lot of patience. And patience is something that is in short supply, isn't it, today? And the patience that Joseph had was not only bearing, but a waiting patience. Maybe we've said it ourselves, or maybe we've heard it said, Lord, give me patience, but give it to me now. That's right, we often want patience, but we're not prepared to wait for it. And we live in a society that doesn't really want anything much to do with patience. It's all about things now being there or available. And you want some information, and it's so easy, isn't it, to get hold of the information now. You can get your smartphone out and then you can Google something and get the information that you want straight away. Which at times can be quite a helpful thing to do, admittedly. But, you know, we don't always like patience. People are driving slowly along the road and they get flashed and people overtake. Or you're waiting for a bus. And you've been waiting for ages for this. It was due 10 minutes ago, and it's not come yet. And it said it's due, and it hasn't come yet. And you know the thing about waiting for a bus or for a train. But we read in Romans 5, verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. So we may pray for patience, and the Lord will give us patience, but you're going to have tribulation, you're going to have trials first. That's going to work patience in you. You're going to be tested, you're going to be tried. Maybe we don't like that, but that's God's way of working. Maybe we can look back and say, yes, I learned patience through that tough time, through that trial in life. Patience, of course, is part of the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians 5:22-23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, or patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Then in verse 2, we read, behold, there came up out of the, this is the Pharaoh's dream now, and behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kine and fat flesh, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, 7 other kind came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kind upon the brink of the river. And the ill-favored and lean-fleshed kind did eat up the 7 well-favored and fat kind. So Pharaoh awoke, and he slept and dreamed the second time. And behold, 7 ears of corn came up upon one stalk, rank and good. And behold, 7 fin ears and blasted with the east wind sprung up after them. And the 7 fin ears devoured the 7 rank and full ears. And Pharaoh awoke. And behold, it was a dream. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. And he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof. Pharaoh told them his dream, and there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. So Pharaoh had these two dreams, and then he sort of woke up, you know, quite startled, having had these dreams. I don't know if you dream. I mean, I occasionally have dreams. They don't make much sense. Sometimes they involve people that I know, but in circumstances that are alien to anything that I'm familiar with. And I think there was one particularly that I didn't like, and then I woke up, and then suddenly I realized it was a dream, it wasn't true, and I was quite relieved that it was just a dream. But these dreams in God's word, I mean, they're not nonsensical. They are very much significant and relevant, and we'll see with these dreams of Pharaoh as the other dreams too, like the butler and the baker, they dreamed, and what they dreamed about came true. And so Joseph's dreams earlier, they would come true as well. And so it is with Pharaoh's dreams. But he was very much troubled. I've mentioned before about the musical Joseph and his amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, which when I was at school I had to learn. And as I said before, I still remember a lot of the words now off by heart because I had to learn it so well. But in that musical, Pharaoh is portrayed as Elvis Presley with the songs. You can sort of imagine what Elvis Presley would sing like. So I mean, it's totally different than the situation here. He was very troubled, and he's not that Elvis Presley was around in Bible times, but he certainly wouldn't have been presenting his dreams to Joseph or to the magicians in that sort of way. And then we read, then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Now, did this butler, did he perhaps have a God-ordained amnesia? Because he just didn't mention anything about Joseph until this time now. It was as though it was in God's purposes that was so. Because now was the time when Joseph would be promoted in the house of Pharaoh. So the butler recommended Joseph to Pharaoh for an interpreter. He said, yeah, well, while I was in prison, yeah, I had a dream, and the baker had a dream, and this man, he told us what they meant, and it came true. But perhaps the chief butler spoke to Pharaoh more in compliment to Pharaoh to oblige him rather than in gratitude to Joseph or in compassion for his case. Perhaps that was so. Perhaps the butler thought, this could be to my advantage, so I'll mention about this Joseph. Really, perhaps, have Joseph's best needs at heart, maybe, but was perhaps thinking about his own satisfaction and perhaps his own promotion, this butler. but we don't know. We're not told. Now, a butler was probably a cupbearer, like Nehemiah. And the Dictionary of the Bible, published by Charles Scribner's Sons, offers this commentary on the office of cupbearer. The holder of this office was brought into confidential relations with the king and must have been thoroughly trustworthy, as part of his duty was to guard against poison in the king's cup. So it was sort of a risky job and showed great trustworthiness. And you'll see that with Nehemiah, particularly with Nehemiah as the cupbearer, as you read in that book. And with Nehemiah, remember, he was very concerned, wasn't he, about the state of Jerusalem more than his own life. Verse 10, Pharaoh was wroth with his servants and put me in ward in the captain of the guard's house. This is what the butler was saying, both me and the chief baker. And we dreamed a dream in one night, I and he. We dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was there with us a young man, an Hebrew, servant to the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams. To each man according to his dream he did interpret. And it came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, shaved himself and changed his raiment, came in unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. See, Joseph was very concerned about glorifying God, wasn't he? And in the dreams that he had, though he would sort of be, though his brothers would bow down to him, it was all wanted the glory of God. And then in the house of Potiphar, wasn't it? When he was accused of lying with Mrs. Potiphar, he said, well, how can I do this great evil, great wickedness, and sin against God? So his concern was the glory of God. And so it should be with us, shouldn't it? 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. And the Shorter Catechism says, man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Is that our motto for life? Trust that it is, that our aim, our end, is to glorify God in all that we do and say and think, and then enjoy him forever. Ever. May we be helped to do all to the glory of God, not ourselves. Maybe sometimes we think that we're doing something for the glory of God, but it's for our own advantage and for our own glory. So we must be careful, mustn't we, about that. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, verse 17, in my dream, behold, I stood upon the bank of the river, And behold, there came up out of the river seven kine, fat-fleshed and well-favoured, and they fed in the meadow. And behold, seven other kine came up after them, poor and very ill-favoured and lean-fleshed, such as I never saw in all the land of Egypt for badness. And the lean and the ill-favoured kine did eat up the first seven fat kine. And when they had eaten them up, it could not be known that they had eaten them. But they were still ill-favoured, as at the beginning. So I awoke, and I saw in my dream, and behold, seven ears came up in one stalk, full and good. And behold, seven ears, withered, thin, and blasted with east wind, sprung up after them. And the thin ears devoured the seven good ears. And I told this unto the magicians, but there was none that could declare it to me. So a couple of times in the reading so far, Pharaoh said, "You know, I've told it to the magicians, but they were of no help at all. They couldn't interpret it at all." Reminds me of the scripture, Psalm 108, verse 12. Give us help from trouble. Addressing the Lord. Give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. Yes, people are obviously helpful to us, and the Lord often uses people to help us. It's not as though nobody is of any help at all. But certainly when it comes to spiritual things and to our salvation and our forgiveness, well, we have to look, don't we, to the Lord alone for that. Only the Lord can forgive us and can save us. Only He can quicken us, make us alive. We who are dead in trespasses and sins, only the Lord can do that, to quicken us, to give us spiritual life. And these magicians have said no help. We compare it with Daniel, don't we? Daniel 2, verses from Daniel chapter 2. And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams, wherewith his spirit was troubled. Another one who had dreams and was troubled, and his sleep broke from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians, and the astrologers, and the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans, to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, "There is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other that can show it before the king, except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh." So here was quite a gathering of people that Nebuchadnezzar asked, and well, they weren't any good at all. And so, of course, it was Daniel who was able to interpret with the Lord's help. May we know God as our helper. Psalm 46, verse 1 says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." I love that verse. And it says about a very present help in trouble. Because it's very often, isn't it, when we are in trouble, particularly sort of, you know, when we're in the thick of the trouble, it's a very present situation, and it's help that we need then. It's no help to us if somebody says, "Well, I'll help you next week," or, "Well, I can't do anything for you today, you have to wait, you know, then next week or whenever." No, I need help now. I need help now. And here we have that wonderful verse, as I said, Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And we all have troubles, don't we? Troubles are inevitable as the sparks fly upward. But may we indeed know the help of God. And I was saying about how indeed in the purposes of God that Joseph would be released and then would serve in Pharaoh's house. And we'll perhaps come on to that more later as we perhaps look at the rest of this chapter more later on. But just like in verse 25, just the next verse to where I stopped reading. Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God hath showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. So again, Joseph is glorifying God. It's not about me. You know, I'm no super person. I'm no great dream interpreter. And though Jacob, of course, had given special honour to Joseph, giving him that coat and so on. Joseph was concerned about the glory of God in all things. And so may we be helped to glorify God, as I said, whether we eat or drink. You know, things that we do every day, you know, and we can glorify God in just the ordinary things of life, isn't it? We don't have to glorify God by being a preacher or a pastor or a missionary somewhere. And we trust that such people do glorify God. But we can just glorify God in just our day-to-day living and in the conversations that we have with people and the things that we do. And, you know, do we show in our lives that consistency that we are the Lord's people? That wherever we are and whoever we're with, that something of our faith, something of what the Lord has done for us shines through, even if it's not in a terribly vocal way. We can, you know, witness perhaps in a quiet way. We can testify, can't we, to the goodness and to our faith. We're not necessarily giving chapter and verse to people and preaching to them, but just the way that we live, the conversations that we have, the things that we say or don't say, and our reactions and so on. And it's good, isn't it, for us to look at our lifestyle and the things that we do. And may it be, you know, if there's a sort of a CCTV camera on us, you know, well, God knows all about us anyway, so we can fool one another, but we can't fool God. And may there be a consistency in the way that we live our lives. And I was saying earlier about Joseph sort of being a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's quite a, I think it was Pink, A.W. Pink, who came up with about 100 different parallels between Joseph and the Lord Jesus Christ. I think, I didn't, I didn't uh, write them all down. I think I've written a few of them down, and perhaps later on, perhaps into next year, I might mention some of them. But you think about Joseph, you know, and how the Lord used him for the saving of many people in Egypt and beyond. And that's why the Lord Jesus came, wasn't it? And we especially think of the coming of the Lord Jesus, don't we, at this time of year. The Lord Jesus coming into this world to save sinners, to save his people from their sins. And may it be that each of us, that we know the Lord as our Saviour. And that we know forgiveness of sin. That's a wonderful thing, is that, yeah, I'm forgiven. I'm saved. I'm not going to be going to hell. A place in heaven is being prepared for me now. It's all of God's grace, isn't it? And that's why we can't earn our salvation through our works or anything. It's all of what the Lord has done and the finished work of Christ. And our place in glory is all down to the Lord Jesus Christ and his work, his finished work there at Calvary. Be thinking of the coming of the Lord as a baby at this time of year. But of course, he came to live and then suffer and die. And then, of course, gloriously rise again on the third day. There's a verse, isn't it, that says, you know, what think ye of Christ? And that's a good question, isn't it, to think, just to leave with us. What do we think of Christ? Was he just a good man or an exceptional person? No, he's a God-man. Emmanuel, God with us. And he is the Saviour of his people. And do we know him as our Lord and Saviour? The one who forgives us. And the one who has gone to prepare a place for his people in glory. That's wonderful, isn't it, to think that he's gone to prepare a place. And at just the right time, just as here, just at the right time, Joseph stood before Pharaoh, just the right time the Lord will call us to himself, just the right time. He's gone to prepare a place, and it will be perfectly prepared for each one of us. Not as though we get to glory and something's not quite ready yet. No, it'll all be ready, won't it, for his people. And are we ready to meet our Lord? Are we ready if he should come or call? And do we know the Lord as our Saviour and as our Lord and the one who has gone to prepare that place in glory for his people? You know, we can't imagine just how wonderful heaven will be. We can. It's often described in scripture, perhaps in negative, that there'd be no more pain, no more suffering. I said, well, that'd be nice. Because, you know, well, I'm in a lot of pain, or I suffer a lot, or I'm very sorrowful. It'd be wonderful to be rid of that. And the Bible describes it very much like that. Perhaps in sort of in a negative way, because we can't grasp just the wonder of what it will be like. So, God willing, we'll continue this evening. We'll leave those few thoughts now. We'll pick up perhaps at verse 25. For the remainder of the chapter later in this fascinating story of Joseph and how God's plans are worked out. for the good of Egypt and for the brothers that we'll see later on down the line.
Amen.